And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Thanksgiving if you're celebrating it. If not, happy Thursday. I'm Zach Harper. Coming up on today's show, we talk to Eric Name of The Athletic about the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, that Supermax extension, and everything going on in the Eastern Conference. Reminder, subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/dailyding. Get yourself a subscription. Check out the best coverage of sports anywhere you can find it, right there on theathletic.com. Also, make sure you check out The Restricted Area, a new YouTube NBA show starring myself and Wozni Lambre. You can find that on The Athletic's YouTube page. Smash that subscribe, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, share it with strangers. Just share it with anyone you come across on the internet, and like and give good comments and all that nice stuff. But we're not talking about that show right now. We're talking about this show, and this show is all about Giannis and what's going on with the Bucks. So, Eric, thank you for joining us. Eric Name of The Athletic covers the Milwaukee Bucks. I guess the first question everyone cares about is Giannis going to sign that Supermax?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hanging out there, isn't it? but I guess from everything I've kind of heard, I don't think any of this is going any different than the Bucks kind of expected it to. You know, a lot of people were thinking, oh, you know, he could sign it the moment that it happens. And then, you know, they pull off the trade for Bogdanovich and Drew Holiday on the same night. And for sure, he's going to sign at 1201. But the Bucks never really thought that that was going to be the case. They always knew that Giannis was not going to sign his Supermax extension until he got back into the United States. And they knew that he was going to spend the start of free agency in Greece, which he is still there as of us recording this podcast. So he has not made his way back to the United States quite yet. But their thought has always been he's going to hang out in Greece for as long as he wants. He'll be back by the start of training camp. And once he gets back to the States, we'll kind of talk out this deal and get it done. So from the Bucks' perspective, this has kind of gone how they expected it to, except obviously all of the craziness that happened on the first Monday night that teams could start executing trades. But from a Bucks perspective, they are still incredibly confident in getting this thing done. And I mean, I think the interesting thing with Giannis is always that this is a dude that's incredibly private. This is a dude, they are not hangers on with Giannis. Right. It is Giannis, it is his agent Alex Tsiratsis, and it is family. And that's it. There's no sources here. There's no one other than those people that is going to know what Giannis is thinking. And honestly, I think they're enjoying that, right? Like, they're enjoying the power that they have right now over the entire NBA world. Like, if you look at teams and how they've approached free agency, they've left space open. They've decided, let's just like chill and see if what happens kind of with Giannis. So I think they like that control, but I think the Bucks still think this thing is getting done, and they're just waiting for Giannis to come back to the States.
So with everything that happened on that first Monday night when you could start doing trades again, you know, John Horst had talked about, you know, oh, we've got some special things coming. And everyone, I think, immediately jumps to like, oh, Giannis is re-signing. He's signing that Supermax, right? Like, that must be what that means. But I think the Bucks were mostly talking about the moves they were going to make. They knew they were going to go after Drew Holiday. They thought they had Bogdanovich in the bag with the sign and trade. So when only one of those things happens, do they still feel like that, oh, we've got some special things coming? Or was the Drew acquisition, which is highly significant, I should add, is that not quite enough for what they were hoping to like splash with?
I mean, I think the splash was their plan was both those moves. And, you know, I wrote about it when it happened, but it was just so funny that John Horst was so confident in such a great mood on Monday morning when he was talking to all of us. And, you know, it appeared that he kind of had it all figured out and was ready to go. And obviously the Bogdanovich deal went south, and it's been a really interesting week and a half now, where there's part of me that wonders, like, do people think Bogdan Bogdanovich is the guy that's a top 30 player in the NBA? Like, do they think he is? Because that's Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is the better player here. And it's just kind of been, I totally understand it, because it was so strange. It was so public and it was so awkward and ugly. So I get all of that. But if we're talking about which player is more impactful, it's Drew Holiday by a lot. Like, we're talking 30 to 40 in the league to 70 to 80 in the league.
For sure. But wouldn't you like, but isn't like, if you have Dante DiVincenzo, isn't like ideal scenario, like, yo, he becomes as good as Bogdan Bogdanovich. So then to like turn that into what the likely ceiling of him is.
For sure. No,
that's it is about getting, but I mean, I'm with you. If you have to pick one or the other, it's Drew every time. Like, he's so much better.
No, absolutely. And I think that's kind of where this offseason is never going to be viewed by what got done. Like, right. It's never going to be that. It's always going to be what could have gotten done. And I think it complicates things that Giannis is as good of friends as he is with Bogdan Bogdanovich. And that was a guy that he was recruiting and a guy that he wanted to add. So I think it complicates things. But ultimately, if you're looking at, you know, as you and I were recording podcasts and leading into the playoffs, you know, everyone would predict the Bucks in whatever to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, to go to the finals, to win the whole thing. And then everyone would just be like, yeah, but do you think Eric Bledsoe is going to be better this time around? And
we did have that conversation a lot.
Like, we talked about it all the time. Like, that was unavoidable. It was all you could talk about with the Bucks. So you would have that conversation and you'd be like, well, you know, he's played a little bit better in the regular season, and, you know, he's shooting better from the free throw line. He's shooting better from three. But
yeah, Eric, you're going from a guy who got outplayed by Terry Rozier in a playoff series to a guy that ate Damian Lillard's lunch in a playoff series.
Right. So it is significant. So, like, if you're looking at their biggest hole going in the playoffs, they have now filled that with just a dude that can do it, that's shown that he can do it, that is just tough and nails in those situations. So I think they've done a lot. I think that starting lineup is a lot better just by moving Holiday in and moving Bledsoe out. But this offseason will never, ever, ever be viewed for just what they did. It'll be always about what they could have done. And really, those first couple days, and, you know, I've heard you on other podcasts talk about, you know, who's to blame or why it was so ugly or awkward.
I'll
tell you,
it's neither of those teams.
I would tend to agree with that assessment. So, like, maybe all that stuff comes out, but no matter what, it's always going to be about that opening night and just the thought that they could have gotten this stuff.
Well, and I want to add on top of that, Eric, is like, isn't really, it's going to be about if Giannis signs the extension. That's all that matters, right? Like, that,
it's all
like, if he signs the extension before December 21st or re-signs in free agency, either one, right? As long as he's with the Bucks long term, then that Monday night, what could be, won't matter nearly as much as, like, yeah, it's if he leaves, if he doesn't sign the extension, and then you have all that worry, and then he leaves in the next offseason, that's when you start going, like, man, if only they had gotten Bogdanovich. And then my question to you, Eric, would be like, is Bogdan Bogdanovich really the difference between Giannis staying and Giannis leaving? To me, that seems a little extreme, but I also don't know the situation nearly as well as you do.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously has that relationship with Bogdanovich, and that was a guy that he really wanted there. But I think in the end, Giannis isn't a child. Like, he's a grown man that has been through a number of business deals and is about to go through another one.
He has a child.
He has a child. Right. Like, I think he understands the business and how this works. So if in the end he finds out that, you know, Bogdanovich didn't actually want to come to Milwaukee because he wasn't going to get enough shots or enough money, or his agent misplayed this, or whatever it is, like, I think Giannis is mature enough to understand that, like, okay, the Bucks tried. Like, they did their thing. They did it. Like, there's no, after this offseason, there's no, like, oh, you know, the Bucks didn't go all in. they don't have a first round pick for 5 years. Like they have pushed the chips in. They have gone for it. And it didn't end up working. So obviously you can fault the execution and, you know, whether or not they had their stuff together, but they went for it. And I think Giannis is mature enough to understand that. And then in the end, you know, $74 million is going to probably convince him, like, oh yeah, you know what? This is the place I want to be, or at least this is the contract that I want to sign and the place I want to be for the next 2 or 3 years.
So in terms of the Bucks, is there any like what's next, or is what they've done with DJ Augustine and Bobby Portis, which are two very good moves, by the way, is what that and Torrey Craig too? Didn't they just grab Torrey Craig? Like with those acquisitions, is this team pretty much set aside from maybe a couple of roster fillers, or do they have other plans to try to maybe grab one more significant player?
No, they're at 14 and they're in a really tough spot because Drew Holiday's contract has a lot of unlikely bonuses in there. So with those incentives, they don't count towards the salary cap, but they count towards the hard cap. And they literally can't get another player right now. They're at 14 and they don't have the room to sneak in a minimum below the hard cap. So they're going to be at 14. And it is those guys you mentioned. It's Drew Holiday as a backup point guard. It's Bobby Portis as a backup big. Torrey Craig, they signed.
DJ Augustine is a backup point guard.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah.
Bryn Forbes and Torrey Craig. And I mean, that's going to kind of be what they're about and, you know, how they're going to try to do this. So obviously the splash is gone, right? Like there's that isn't Bogdan Bogdanovic. As I said, you know, the difference between Holiday and Bogdanovic is pretty strong. The difference between Bogdanovic and those other players is pretty strong, but you know, you try to fill those gaps in and you try to hope that that's going to be enough for you on your bench.
The other thing we kept talking about as we led up to the playoffs was the adjustment game with Mike Budenholzer.
Yep.
After two, you know, pretty tough oustings in the Eastern Conference playoffs, what's your sense of how they approach this season? Is it the same? Is it well, we got these new parts, so we should see how that works, or will there be the actual pressure to have these adjustments on deck?
So, you know, internally, kind of what I've heard is that Bud has been much more open to making changes than he has been in the past. And he's open to the idea that, you know, he's gonna have to do things a little bit differently. And I'll be honest, I didn't believe that, right? Like, that's what you say.
Right.
Like, you're gonna say it. So he has to prove it. But then when you look at a number of those signings, I start to wonder if maybe it is actually true, because DJ Augustine can't defend. Bobby Portis is not a good defender. Bryn Forbes is not a good defender. Like, Torrey Craig is the exception here, but they went out and signed a bunch of offensive guys. And that does not fit with Bud. So Bud is going to have to figure out, like, okay, how do I get these guys to defend? And if I'm going to figure out how to get these guys to defend, I'm probably going to have to move out of my base defensive coverage. So the moves suggest the same that I've heard from people around the organization, that he is going to be more open to change. But I mean, it's the same thing as it always is. Prove it. Like, you got to show that you can actually do that. You got to show that for once in your life, you're not going to have Giannis play drop coverage when he's a 7-foot freak. Like, go have him switch, please. Do not have him drop to the rim anymore and play like he's an immobile Brook Lopez. So it's all going to be about Bud proving it. But yeah, I mean, it comes down to it. I think all the excuses kind of around the Bucks have been removed. There's no Eric Bledsoe anymore. Like, it is literally, Giannis, you have to be good enough to get us through this. In Bud, you have to make the adjustments that we need to get us through this. Like, it's on those two guys. And if those two guys can do it, they're going to be, I mean, on paper, they're the best team in the East and they should go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I cannot stress enough what an upgrade Eric Bledsoe to Drew Holiday is. Like, I really cannot stress enough like what that is. And it does become a no excuses thing, to which then I would, if I'm Giannis, there's part of me where, like, I wouldn't mind making the Bucks show me, right? Not that the Bucks haven't necessarily done enough, but like just seeing, like, yeah, I do want to know if this is the way to go. Like, and then you take it to free agency, but it's also a lot of money to pass up. It's a lot of money no matter what, but like that's still like that extension is crazy.
Yeah. And for him, I've always just kind of viewed it as, you know, these were the first 2 years you've kind of had like a real coach. And Jason Kidd wasn't that guy. Like he was there to get you to the next level, but then you needed the real coach to kind of push it over. And, you know, I think this is Bud's last year to kind of prove that, to show that he can do those things. And then, you know, if it doesn't work out, you've already signed that Supermax extension. You give the Bucks one more year with a new coach. If that coach ends up being the right coach, all right, I'll stick around. We won a championship or whatever it may be. And if it isn't, then, I mean, you can still request a trade at that point. And you know who would want to trade for Giannis? Everyone. Literally everyone. The entire league, 29 teams, will make their offer for four more years of Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, yeah. Like, I just think for him, it makes way too much sense to get the money, get in a spot, and kind of make the franchise, I don't want to say make the franchise comfortable, but kind of just solidify that. So there's no excuses. There's nothing around the periphery. You're right. Just getting a chance to try to go win a championship.
Look, if Paul George can sign a new deal and then force a trade a year later, I'm pretty sure Giannis can do whatever the hell he wants if he signs that deal.
You would think so.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In terms of what that playoff shakeout's going to look like, we do have the expanded play-in tournament format to where now you really just have to be a top 10 team in the East to be in the mix, which means you just have to be in the upper two thirds of the league, which means if you're in the bottom third of the league moving forward, like you just suck, right? Like you're just terrible. So
it's rough,
Yeah, in the Eastern Conference, like, you know, we will get to see John Wall back, assuming he doesn't get this, alleged or reported trade request to go through. So the Wizards might be interesting. Charlotte signs Gordon Hayward. The Hawks made a bunch of moves. Cleveland has a surprisingly veteran team for having all these young guys. Knicks are the Knicks and the Pistons are going to be the Pistons. do you see a team in the East that you like, yes, this team is going to knock out, I think we can say Orlando, to sneak in and then maybe take on that Bucks team?
So who gets to lose to the Bucks in the first round?
Yes, exactly. who is the leader to lose to the Bucks in the first round?
That Hawks team is really interesting. Like they added a bunch of dudes. Obviously, Bogdan Bogdanovic is one of those dudes. But I really like what they did. Like they just have a bunch of dudes. They might give up more points than the Wizards have in recent years because I don't think they have anyone that defends. But they should be able to score. So I think it's maybe the Hawks that are able to sneak into that eight and try to find a way, to kind of capitalize on Trae Young being so good so early in his career where, you know, you can surround him with some other players that can get something done. I think it's the Hawks. Are you thinking somebody else?
I've thought Orlando sucked for years, so I guess they could still... Yeah, and they keep making the playoff, barely making the playoffs. So, like, I guess they could still be the front runner to make it. I'm not buying this Hornets thing unless LaMelo is just that good. I'm intrigued by – I think this Wizards team is better than people give them credit for, but they also had the worst defense in NBA history. So, I don't know. I'm not buying the Cavs. I'm not buying the Knicks. Obviously not buying the Pistons. But, like, yeah, like, I think this Hawks team has the chance to be very good. They're still so young. Right. And so, like, as much as I believe in Trey, is Gallo going to be the right? Like, Gallo went searching for money. He didn't go searching for opportunity. Right. Like, so, like, does that matter? You know, can Chris Dunn and Clint Capella shore up that defense enough? What's the John Collins extension situation going to be, especially if they don't extend him? Like, yeah, I got a lot of questions about the Hawks, but they definitely intrigue me the most. Well, although I do want to throw the, because Bradley Beal's really good. Like, I do want to throw the Wizards some credit there.
Yeah, man, that Wizard, like, really, my hope for this season was just that, like, all the dudes that I really like watch play basketball that have been hurt get healthy and are fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that was my hope, and we've already failed. Like Klay Thompson is already not.
They were off to a horrible start.
Like a really rough start. Because in my head, I was like, I'm going to see Klay Thompson again, Kevin Durant, John Wall. Like it was going to be really fun. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, hopefully Wall can stay healthy. And I don't know how they would ever trade him because of that contract. So I would guess he's sticking around. So, maybe I'm with you. Maybe the Wizards can do something. Yeah,
I'll tell you what you do. You slap a bunch of first-round picks next to him, or you slap Bradley Beal next to him. You just say, hey, who wants to move $80 million? That's what we'll do. All right, make sure you check out all of Eric's phenomenal coverage of the Bucks on The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/dailyding. Or go to one of Eric's articles. Subscribe through there if you're not subscribing. It is the best Bucks coverage and the best sports coverage on the internet. Make sure you check out the restricted area on The Athletic's YouTube page. Make sure you check out The Athletic NBA Show podcast, all the team-specific shows, No Dunks, everything on The Athletic Podcast Network, because you're going to get a lot of entertainment. And plus, you're sneaking away from your family for a couple hours during this Thanksgiving Day holiday. You know, go listen to a podcast. Go watch a video. Go do one of those fun things before you got to, you know, force yourself to choke down some bad turkey. We can just do that. Make sure you check out Eric Name on Twitter. Make sure you check him out on The Athletic. And support the podcast, support the website. And really, I'm telling you, it's the best bang for your buck right there on the internet. For Eric Name, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.